Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
So glad that you're here. So glad you're watching from home this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. Today we celebrate the loving sacrifice of mothers, both biological and spiritual. We give you praise for mothers and women of influence who have nurtured us and guided us in your ways all through our lives. Lord, bless them with joy and strength and love to continue their selfless giving to us and to you, Lord. This day and all days, may they feel deeply appreciated and honored by us and by you. And merciful Father, we pray for moms everywhere and anywhere, in this room, out of this room, who are facing hardships and trials. Lord, whether they deal with health issues or financial stress or some kind of relational struggle, Lord, you be their rock. You be their fortress. Provide them with your protection and provision. Let your presence be a constant and comforting reminder that they are not alone, Jesus, that you are with them every step, every breath along the way. And Lord, we pray for those of us whose moms have gone on to glory with you. God, we thank you for them, for their influence upon our lives. And Lord, we thank you that there's more to life than this life. God, we thank you for on here on planet Earth for life and life abundantly, but we also thank you for life and life eternally with you. Jesus, we need your presence this morning. The moms in the house, the women in the house, the ladies of influence in the house, they need your love like never before. Lord, they need to be built on you, on how solid you are, so they can be solid for those that you're calling them to love. Come, Lord Jesus, let our time in this room today be a time where you invade not just this let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we desire to invest in our children and our youth because we know that, Lord, if we can let you work in them now, we'll let you work in them today, Lord, this world will be changed tomorrow. So, Lord Jesus, receive our gifts, small gifts, large gifts. Lord, as we give our gifts, we put our gifts into your hands. Lord, just take these gifts and use these gifts to change this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So y'all, let me give a little introduction as they're passing the plates. This is messing everybody up. I apologize. The 11th century BC, all right? 1,100 years before Jesus was a time when the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, had stopped seeking after God. It was a time when their economy and society was in crisis. It was a time when the religious leaders of the day were corrupt. It was a time when people faced enemies without and within. And it was a time, according to Judges 21, verse 25, that every man and every woman did what they thought was right in their own eyes. Now, y'all, does any of that feel a little bit familiar to what's going on in 2024 right here in our nation? But then God used the faith and hope of one mother to radically redirect the life and the future of an entire nation. That mother's name was Hannah, and her story is found in 1 Samuel. Please stand, please hear, and please receive the word of the Lord. Year after year, this man is named Elkanah. Year after year, Elkanah went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year after year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say, by the way, maybe he gets the Clueless Husband of the Year award for this, but this is what he said. He said, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Anyway, all right. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. That was the Nazirite vow, okay? As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, How long will you keep on getting drunk, woman? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him, the Lord heard me. Lord Jesus, this morning, may we hear you. Father God, we know that we're living in a radically different age than Hannah did 3,000 years ago. We also know that 3,000 years later, our nation too finds itself struggling and off course. We know that we too are a nation that has by and large stopped seeking after you. We know that we too are experiencing the economic and societal consequences and results of our self-centered, anti-godly living. Father, we know that we too have corruption in the political and spiritual leaders of our day. We know that we too have enemies within and enemies without. And so, God, we too need you to raise up mothers of faith and hope, women of influence. We need you to move the mothers and the female influencers of our church to step up and step out in dependence upon you. Jesus, I pray this morning that you may send your Holy Spirit to personally and profoundly speak to each and every girl and woman in this place. Lord Jesus, don't just speak to them, but touch them and heal them and love them and change them and bring them to a place of certain hope and definite faith this very morning in this very place. In your name, Jesus, amen. So this morning, I want to make five observations about a hope-filled mama named Hannah. First, Hannah was a woman who knew real brokenness. Hannah's brokenness was rooted in her physical barrenness. Women from the ancient Near East lived in a patriarchal culture, society. That meant that their worth and their value, their significance and security came from three specific sources. When they were growing up, it came from their father. When they left their father's home, it came through their husbands. And then their present and future identity rested in the production of offspring, of children. To be barren was to be cursed. To be barren meant that there must be something wrong with you. To be barren meant that you had not just zero legacy, you also had zero future because there would be no one to take care of you in your latter years. But Hannah's brokenness was not just physical, it was very much emotional, spiritual, and relational. Her barrenness represented the busting of major balloons in her life. Her barrenness meant great unmet expectations. Her barrenness meant the loss of major dreams and plans that she had for her life. On top of her own experience of her own barrenness, Hannah experienced the condemnation of her culture. But it wasn't just society that judged her, it was her own family. Look again at verses 6 and 7. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. And whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her rival. I wish I could say this morning that all of our rivals, you know, they're just out there in the world. But truth be told is that those who hurt us the most are usually the ones who are supposed to be loving us the most. The ones who can punch our buttons are the ones who know us well enough to know what those buttons are. Year after year, day after day, this rival shoved Hannah's barrenness right in her face. And it literally broke her heart. Verse 8 tells us that Hannah was downhearted. Verse 10 tells us that Hannah was a woman in misery. Verse 15 tells us that Hannah was deeply troubled. What I know this morning is that Hannah's not the only woman on the planet who knows what it is to hurt. What I know this morning is that there's a room full of moms and women who are also hurting and struggling in some way. Some of you are struggling with the way you're perceived or judged or evaluated by others. Some of you are struggling with your marriage or your children. Some of you are struggling to feel good about yourselves. It doesn't matter what you do. It just never seems to be good enough with your kids or your work or your grandkids or your current life circumstances, your relationships. It's what you want, you know, it's up here. And what you're getting is down here. And between here and here is that thing called brokenness. Our moms, other moms here this morning are hurting because one of your kids is hurting. You're broken because someone you love is broken. Some of you, like Hannah, are hurting and struggling because there really are physical challenges that are going on in you. Maybe you've had a cold or a cough that won't go away. Maybe your body just aches, or maybe you have low energy or a hormonal or chemical imbalance of some kind. Maybe you're dealing with a disease that has a name, or maybe you're dealing with something that nobody can really figure out. Whatever it is, you're hurting. Your body, you're physically hurting this morning. And some of you women and moms are hurting and struggling emotionally. You're lonely right now. You may have a ton of people around you, but you're lonely. There's no one you can really talk to or trust. Maybe you have deep anger, bitterness, unforgiveness because of what's happened to you in the past. And try as you might, you just can't seem to let it go. Or maybe it just seems it won't let you go. Maybe this morning you're afraid. Afraid of your future, afraid of your present, or for whatever the reason, you just don't feel safe where you are, in your workplace, in your family. You feel vulnerable and at risk in some significant way right now. Some moms here this morning are just so overwhelmed. The demands of the workplace, demands of the kids, demands of keeping up with laundry and food and activities and never-ending responsibilities, they're just too much. You just feel like quitting. You feel like throwing in the towel. I don't know where your brokenness is today. I don't know where you're hurting, where you're suffering this morning, but God does know. And He loves you, and He cares for you, and He wants to put His arms around you and take care of you. The Hannah that changed the world, that Hannah was a mama of hope. She was a mama of hope, not because her life was perfect, but because her life was filled with real brokenness. But it's in that real brokenness that Hannah met a very real, a very loving, a very transforming God. Listen to the way that Paul talks about the work of hope in our lives. This is in Romans chapter 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, right? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us, right? We praise God for suffering. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. I mean, if I had all of y'all who want to do the suffering line, come on down right here, right? I mean, that's not where we're going. But y'all, the truth is, whether we like it or not, it's in and through suffering that we come to experience a very real presence of God in our lives. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 that God's strength, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Listen to Isaiah. This is Isaiah 53. It says, surely, talking about Jesus, surely he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. On the cross, Jesus didn't just take up our iniquities, but our infirmities. On the cross, he didn't just die for our transgressions. He died for our tears, our sorrows. Hannah was a woman of real brokenness, and so are we, both male and female. We, all of us, are those who have known or know the reality of broken hearts and broken lives. In Hannah, you see this real need, and we see this real desperateness that led to real dependency on God. Secondly, Hannah was a woman of real faith. Hannah has a faith that moves her. Her faith doesn't allow her to stay where she is. Her faith doesn't let her stay sidetracked on some destructive pathway. Verse 9 tells us that Hannah stood up. She went to the temple of the Lord, and there Hannah made a vow. She made an agreement with the Lord, and part of that agreement was what she would do, right? What she would do with that baby if she ever had that baby. But the other part of that agreement was what she knew that God could do. Hannah believed in God. She trusted in a God. She turned to a God that she believed was able. Hannah had faith like David, Psalm 62. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock. He is my refuge. Our God is able. Hannah had faith like Zephaniah. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Our God is able. Hannah had faith like Paul in 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, and you will abound in every good work. Our God is able. Hannah had faith like Peter in 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in his due time. Our God is able. I say that Hannah had faith like them, but the truth is, Hannah predates all of those guys by 50 years, hundreds and hundreds of years. Truth is, they had faith like her. Hannah had faith that God is able. Ladies, this morning, put your faith in the one and only one who is faithful. Put your faith in the one who will never leave you or forsake you. Put your faith in your all in all in the one who is able. Put your faith in the one who will never leave you or forsake you. Put your faith in the one who loves you. Your faith in the one who died for you. Your faith in this very minute is working for your good and for his purposes in your life. Write the old song, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I didn't sing it right, sorry, anyway. What are you standing on? What are you trusting in? Hannah's faith was a real faith because it moved her. It defined her, and it got her to the place that God wanted her to be. So y'all, this morning, ladies, men, how's your faith? Does your faith in God make any real difference in your life? Is your faith stagnant, not going anywhere? Is your faith status quo? It's just like everybody else's. Is your faith shrinking? In fact, you're not growing. You're moving away from God, not to God. Or is your faith surging you forward and taking you deeper and deeper into the very arms of the one who created you? The very arms of the one who died for you. The very arms of the one who loves you. The very arms of the one who right this minute longs to fill you with his very spirit. Where's your faith? Moving to him or from him? Third, Hannah was a woman of real prayer, deep prayer. Hannah's prayer life was not pretense or rote or ritual praying. Hannah's prayer was not just prayer that she overheard somebody else's pray. She just repeated it. Hannah's prayer was not super religious or self-righteous with all the just right words. Hannah's prayer was just real. In fact, after her vow, Hannah's prayer to God doesn't even contain any words. Her prayer was a crying out, a groaning, a more than words from the heart kind of prayer. In Romans 8:26, Paul talks about this kind of praying. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Hannah's prayer is not coming through her mind, but through and from her heart, through and from her gut. Hannah's mouth is moving, but there were no words, no sounds. And so Eli thought she's drunk. Isn't it interesting that that's exactly what the people of Jerusalem thought about those very first followers of Jesus on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:13. They've had too much wine. Boy, they're just a bunch of drunkards. They're cootered. It doesn't really say that, but that's what they meant, right? Hannah's real, honest, and humble prayer paves the way for God's provision to come in her life. Only as we get honest and humble about what's really going on in here will God have room to move and work in our lives. Y'all remember the story. It's one of my favorite stories that Jesus told over in Luke 18. It's a parable that he told. He said, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like this poor tax collector, that I fast twice a week, that I give a tenth of all I get, that I, right? But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus said it was that man made right with God. Hannah comes desperate. Hannah comes in great need. Hannah doesn't come in self-righteousness, but in surrender. This week in our Through the Bible in a Year, we're reading 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6 is when they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, and David's at the head of the pack. And so this is over. Let me just read a bit. This is over 2 Samuel chapter 6. I think it starts in verse 14, yeah. So David, wearing a linen ephod, he danced before the Lord with all his might. It's not like, oh yeah, it's not that dance. It's, what's that movie where the guy gets taught how to dance? Keep it right in here, huh? Yeah, keep it right in. No, this is wild and crazy. This is dance with all his might dancing. While the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. This is David's wife. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Verse 20. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants with all the vulgar, any vulgar fellow would. You know, he just became like any other child of God that day. It wasn't like he was a king. He was just a son of God. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me the ruler of the Lord's people of Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But these slave girls you spoke of, by them I will be held in honor. What David's really saying is, I don't really care what anybody else thinks. All I care about is what he thinks. The audience of one. Hannah didn't care what she looked like or sounded like. Hannah didn't care what anybody else thought about her. She just wanted God to know her heart and have her heart. Ladies, this morning, do you care more about your appearance to others or your intimacy with God? Do you care more about how you're perceived by others or how you truly are in your relationship with Jesus? Are you focused on the outside stuff or the inside reality? Almost every year on Mother's Day, I share one mother's adaptation of 1 Corinthians 13. If this is the 10th time you've heard it, I apologize. If I live in a house of spotless beauty with everything in its place, but have not love, I am a housekeeper, not a homemaker. If I have time for waxing, polishing, and decorative achievements, but have not love, my children learn cleanliness, not godliness. Love leaves the dust in search of a child's laugh. Love smiles at the tiny fingerprints on a newly cleaned window. Love wipes away the tears before it wipes up the spilled milk. Love picks up the child before it picks up the toys. Love is present through the trials. Love reprimands, reproves, and is responsive. Love crawls with the baby, walks with the toddler, runs with the child, then stands aside to let the youth walk into adulthood. Love is the key that opens salvation's message of a child's heart to a child's heart. Before I became a mother, I took glory in my house of perfection. Now I glory in God's perfection and move of perfection in my child. As a mother, there is much I must teach my child, but the greatest of all is love. Y'all, Hannah, and I invite you to be a Hannah, to not worry about all of that, but to worry about what's really here. Not how you look, but how you love. Fourthly, this morning, Hannah was a hope-filled mama because Hannah was a woman of real surrender, radical surrender. Go back and look. We didn't read this part, but verses 24 through 28. After Samuel was weaned, Hannah took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, sacrificed the bull, that's worship, by the way, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord." And they worship the Lord there at Shiloh. Moms, what do you want your children to be? What do you want them to do when they grow up? Do you want them to be a great doctor, a great athlete, to have a great career, to be a great worldly success? Or do you want them to make a great difference in this world for Jesus? Hannah didn't give a rip about her son gaining the things of this world. Instead, she surrendered him. She gave him to the Lord so that God could use him to bring stability to an entire nation. She surrendered Samuel to the Lord so that God could use him to move Israel toward the fulfillment of God's purposes. She surrendered him to the Lord so that he could be a guide, a leader, a prophet, a truth teller for the world, to change the world in his day. Who are you raising your children to be? What are you raising your children to do? To conform or to transform? To just exist or to excel? To accept the status quo of the world around us or to usher in the very purposes, the very kingdom of God? 19th century poet William Ross Wallace was right. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Hannah changed the world because she surrendered her son. She gave her son to the Lord. Moms, never underestimate the power, your power to influence the world tomorrow by truly giving your children to the Lord today. Lord, they're yours, not mine. By the way, that might be a challenge at 8 or 12 or 16. It's a challenge for adult children too. Lord, they're yours, not mine. I relinquish them, surrender them. I give them, I offer them to you, Lord. Have your way, not mine. Have your way with them. You want your children to grow up loving Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? Then you must first love God. First love God, first and foremost in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. No one ever had to make me believe in God's grace, because every morning I saw my mother, Grace, get up at 5 a.m. to spend time with God and pray for her family. No one ever had to make me believe in grace, because every Sunday my whole life I got to see my mother, Grace, lovingly play the piano at our little Methodist church. No one ever had to make me believe in grace, because I got to see my mother, Grace, forgive and unconditionally love my daddy through it all. No one had to make me believe in grace, because my whole life I got to see my mother, Grace, cry. Every time my brother or I preached, no matter how bad it was, she cried. No one ever had to make me believe in grace, the grace of God, because my mother, Grace, put the needs of others before the needs of herself. She loved unconditionally over and over and over again. That's my mom. I told Jane I wouldn't say anything, but for the last 4 decades plus, the greatest mom in my life has been Janie. And she's given and she's served and she's loved and she's sacrificed most times without notice. And she's done all that in the midst of this real. I've watched her struggle with that whole thing about giving herself, relinquishing herself, but especially giving her children, relinquishing her children to the Lord. It's far easier said than done, isn't it, y'all? Finally this morning, Hannah was a woman of real hope, because she was a woman of real blessing. 1 Samuel 1:28, again, I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over. I believe authentic blessing is not so much about what we get as it is about what we give. Hannah came powerfully on the scene of Scripture, and she willingly exited off the scene. On the stage of human history, Hannah played her role and played it exceptionally well. No regrets. She left it all on the field. She held nothing back. She gave her very best, because Hannah understood that true blessing is more than what God doing. You know, it's more than what God doing something for us. True blessing is all about God doing something through us. And at the end of 1 Samuel, all we're told is how Hannah gave her son to the Lord. But just take a quick peek about the rest of the story. 1 Samuel 2, verse 19. Each year, Hannah, his mother, made him, Samuel, a little robe. And she took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord." And then they'd go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. And meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Maybe it doesn't always work out like that, but it did for Hannah. But whether it works out exactly the way you want it to or not, it's really the only way to go. Put your trust in Him. I've used the word over and over this morning, the word real. You know, Hannah had real brokenness and real faith. She was a woman of real prayer who lived a life of real surrender and real blessing. I've used that word real over and over again this morning because I believe Hannah was just an ordinary, everyday, real mom. An ordinary, real woman, just like you are. And the real choices she made in her very real life was what allowed her to make a real difference for her world 3,000 years ago. Lord God, for all the real women here, Lord, come and just love on them. Come and meet them where they're struggling, where they're hurting. Come where they need you the most, Lord, and then just fill them with your presence. And then use them to love those under their umbrella of influence, to love them like you are loving them. Lord God, we confess we need you. Lord, there are moms here. They've been wounded by all kinds of things, and they cannot heal themselves. They probably have tried. So, Lord, you come and heal them today. And, Lord, this morning, today, the future of the world tomorrow is at stake. Because it's what the moms, the women of influence in this room choose to do with their influence that will truly make the difference in what God has for us in the days to come. So Lord, we just want to be faithful. We don't want to stay where we are. We don't want to just be content with the way things are. God, we want you to come and do what needs to be done in us. As we come to this altar this morning, as we close out this service of worship, Lord, let us get honest and humble and bow ourselves, surrender ourselves and our family to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, this morning, we come and we want to stand on you. Moms, women of influence, daughters of God, sons of God, Lord, anywhere else we try to stand, it will not hold us. Lord, but you will. You are faithful. And you're not just in the past with Hannah 3,000 years ago. Not just in the past with Jesus in the streets of Capernaum. Lord, you're here. And Lord, you want to work and you want to move. And you want to bring miracles and goodness and purpose to our life and healing to our life. And so, God, we just ask for you to do all that you can do. And even more than we can imagine. Do that for every person, every family, every mom here this day. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all, this morning, if you got something special you want to pray about, please, I'd love to just hang out and pray for you a minute. So if you need prayer in any way, you want to be baptized, come on down. Happy Mother's Day. See y'all.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.